I would like to take this opportunity on this occasion of the birth of the Imam, birth anniversary of the Imam whose name actually has given us our own identity. And I would like to very briefly, you know, talk about the implications of being a Shia for Ali. What does it mean? Because when we use this term Shia Ali, which it means the followers of Ali. What was Ali that we follow him? Because when we look at ourselves, you know, it's part of human nature that, you know, we begin our life with different kinds of, you know, foundation for our identity and our affiliations. We are born in a family, and because the family is part of a tribe or a community, we are known by that ethnic or racial group. And we speak a language of our parents, so we are sometimes identified by the language that we speak. And then we also have the geographical region where we were born or where we live. And we say, okay, we are Canadian or Indian or Pakistani or Tanzanian. And so these all identities are there, but from the Islamic perspective, these are very limited. And as far as their implications are concerned, they are very insignificant. All these identities that we have, based on family line, based on tribe, color, language, and region. Because from the Islamic perspective, we look at all this diversity in the human race. Color-wise, language-wise, difference in the features of human beings. This diversity itself actually reflects the power and glory of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In Surah Rum, ayat number 22, the famous ayat that I normally recite in the marriage ceremonies, the ayat after that is the ayat where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَمِنْ آيَاتِهِ خَلْقُ السَّمَوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ. And among these signs of His power and glory is that He created the heavens and the earth. وَاخْتَلَافَ أَلْسِنَتُكُمْ وَأَلْوَانِكُمْ. And even the variety in your languages and your colors. So the variety that we have in the language that we speak, the colors that we have, these are all signs of, you know, Allah's power and glory. إِنَّ فِي ذَلِكَ لَآيَاتٍ لِلْعَالَمِينَ. In this variety of human race that you see, itself, you know, there are ayat and signs of reflection for the people who have knowledge. And so these issues are there and they are real, but they cannot become the fundamental basis of our identity. The main thing which identifies us is our faith and our religion. Because all these other issues that we see, you will see Quran talks about the whole earth. And it says, describes the world as Arbullah. And all the citizens of this world are described in Quran as Ibadullah. Doesn't matter we are white, black, we speak Swahili or English or Arabic or Farsi or Urdu. You know, this earth of Allah is our home. And we are Ibad of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And so when we look at that, we have to realize that the main basis of our identity is our Iman, our Deen, and our Madhab. That's where we say we are Muslims. Not only Muslims, we are Muslims who follow the teachings of Islam as brought by and preserved by the Ahlul Bayt. We are Muslims who take pride in calling ourselves that we are Shia of Amir al-Mu'mineen Ali ibn Abi Talib alayhi salatu wa salam. And so this identity of being a follower of Islam and the path of Shiaism of Ali transcends all boundaries and the differences that we see in human race. And not only that, it also actually binds us in that trade of wilayat. Anyone in this world who believes in Allah and Rasul and the Ahlul Bayt, they are linked to us now. Whether we have different color, different language, different tribal, background. We are all now linked because of that deen and mazhab which is common between us on a global level. Salawat on Ekbar. Let me bless this statement with a hadith from the Imam. We have a hadith where our fifth Imam, Imam Muhammad al-Baqir alayhi salatu wa salam, describes the pillars of Islam, not about usul-e-deen. There is a concept of arkan of Islam, and you will see there is a slight difference in the way the Sunni mazhab talks about the five pillars and the way our imams have talked about it. And this is not just one hadith, there are so many hadiths from various imams. Our fifth imam says, Buni al-Islam ala khamsa. Islam is based on five things. Ala salat, wa zakat, wa hajj, wa sawm, wa wilaya. There are five things which are the foundation of Islam. Number one, salat. Number two, zakat. Number three, hajj. Number four, fasting. And number five, the wilayat of Ahlul Bayt. If you look at these five issues, I can actually summarize that into three groups. And I would put it this way, that salat and sawm, prayers and fasting, actually are more spiritual matters. And they vertically link us as human beings to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Through ibadat of namaz, through the ibadat of fasting, we develop ourselves and feel closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's one aspect. The second would be the issue of zakat and hajj. These are more social issues. And while even zakat and hajj vertically links us to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but also on a horizontal level, it actually links us to the global ummah. Why you have to go to Makkah for hajj? You actually, pray towards the Kaaba every day. We could have made a symbolic Kaaba here and done tawaf here. But why people have to go once a year, specific time, all people from all different parts of the world have to gather there at the same time? And that's one place where even the difference in moon sighting doesn't matter anymore. In fasting there's a problem, but it has, whether you're a Shia or a Sunni, whatever is announced that, you just follow it. And the whole idea there is basically not only to look at this perspective as a link between us and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We have been told that even on a horizontal level you have to link yourself with the global ummah through the process of hajj and zakat, which is a general charity. Salawat on the Ekbar. And so we can combine salat and sawm on one side, zakat and hajj on the other side, then this third element of this foundation of Islam from the perspective of Ahlul Bayt would be the wilayat. Our devotion and link to Ali, Waliul Awliya. And there also it's not only me being somebody who is devoted to Ali ibn Abi Talib. It's not only a vertical relationship that I have with Ali. I also have to have that relationship in a horizontal level with all those who are the Shias of Ali bin Abi Talib alayhi salatu wa salam. And that is the essence of vilayat or tawalla. I'm sure you remember when you were taught in madrasa, tawalla and tabarra. What is the definition of tawalla? It's not only to love the Ahlul Bayt, you have to love the Ahlul Bayt and those who follow the Ahlul Bayt. And so when we look at this definition, we can basically summarize that Shiaism or Islam from the Shi'i perspective can be summarized in three things. Number one, spiritually developing ourselves to bring ourselves closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala through salat and song. Number two, to be socially concerned for the global ummah through the process of Hajj and Zakat, and number three, firm connection to the Ahlul Bayt and to be concerned for the global Shia community. Salawat wa rahmatullah. Alif for us actually symbolizes all these three elements. Whether you look at spirituality, whether you look at the issue of being concerned for the Ummah, or whether you look at the process of Vilayat, where Ali is the foundation of that. Because when we look at the spirituality, you know, it's amazing. 70 years, Banu Umayyah did their best not only it is to suppress the name of Ali and the fazail of Ali. They aggressively went out in order to tarnish the image of Ali, to portray him as an enemy of Allah and Rasul. But what happens at the end? And this is where we say it's not doing of the Shias. It is actually Allah's, you know, way of doing things. In spite of so much suppression of the image of Ali, so much brainwashing of generations against Ali, in Friday Khutbah, just think about it, generations grew up hearing the sab and shatun and la'an on whom? On Amir al-Mu'mineen. Every week. But what happened at the end? You look at the Muslim world, look at the spiritual groups known as the Sufis, and majority of them are Sunnis. You will see almost all of the Sufi groups, when you look at the lineage of their spiritual master on a spiritual level, not on a physical level, all of them trace their leadership back after Rasulullah to none other than Waliyul Awliya, Amir al-Mu'mineen, Ali bin Abi Talib alayhi salatu wasalam. Without accepting Ali, they know that Iman is incomplete. Even though they place Ali as fourth in the line of Khilafat, but when it comes to spiritual leadership, they place him as number one after Rasulullah. On the issue of social justice, concern for the Ummah, not only the Shias, Ali is basically the best example of social justice in Islam. And it's amazing, centuries after his passing away, when non-Shia writers, non-Muslim writers, they write about Ali, they always highlight that perspective of Ali's life. To the extent that there is a phrase in history by which Ali is remembered, that قُتِلَ فِي الْمِحْرَابِ لِشِدَّةِ عَدْلِهِ. Ali was killed in the mihrab. Why? What was his fault? لِشِدَّةِ عَدْلِهِ, because he was very firm in the matters of social justice. He was not willing to compromise when it came to the issue of adl and justice and fairness. Salawat wa rahmatullah. Then we go to the ayat which I recited after the khutbah, which actually summarizes all these three aspects. The issue of Salat as a link of a human being to Allah on one hand, the issue of Zakat in form of charity, where you are concerned for the well-being of others in order to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and the issue of Wilayat. All three elements coming together in ayat number 55 of Surah Maidah. Especially when we talk about the Wilayat of Ali. I would like to read to you the context of the revelation of this ayat, not from our sources. There are so many narrations in many Sunni tafaseer when they talk about ayat number 55 of surah number 5, Surah Maidah. It's easy to remember, 5:55. And when you look at that ayat, you will see, and the quotation that I have today for this mahfil is from Imam Fakhruddin Razi, a very famous Mufassir of the Sunnis. He is a Tafsir by the name of Tafsir Kabir. There he narrates a hadith about the context in which this ayat was revealed. And I'll come to the ayat later on. Rawa an Abi Dharr. He is quoting from Abu Dharr al-Ghifari. He says, صَلَّيْتُ مَعَ رَسُولِ اللَّهِ يَوْمًا صَلَاةَ الظُّهْرِ. One day he says, we, you know, did the Zuhr prayers behind Rasulullah in Masjid al-Nabi, and then we were sitting there with the Prophet. فَسَأَلَ سَائِلٌ فِي الْمَسْجِدِ فَلَمْ يُعْتِئِهِ أَحَدٌ. A beggar came into the masjid, asked for help, nobody gave anything to him. Then he goes on to say, فَرَفَعَ السَّائِلِ يَدُهُ إِلَى السَّمَاءِ. This beggar raised his hands upwards and complained to Allah that, O Allah, be witness in the salt of the Masjid of Rasul. I came begging in the Masjid of your Rasul, but nobody gave me anything. Abu Dharr says, وَعَلِيٌ كَانَ رَاكِعًا. Ali was in the position of ruku of his nafila prayers. فَأَوْمَ إِلَيْهِ بِخِنْسِرِهِ الْيُمْنَى. At that time, Ali, when he heard the complaint of this person, he indicated to this person the ring that he had in his smallest finger on the right hand. وَكَانَ فِي خَاتِمٍ. And so the beggar basically understood that indication and took the ring away from the hands of Ali. The Prophet saw this, according to Abu Dharr. And when Rasulullah saw that, he raised his hands. And he says, Allahumma inna akhi Musa sa'alaka. That, O Allah, my brother, in the sense of, you know, somebody who is a Nabi like me, my brother Musa, when you assigned him to go to Fir'aun, he prayed to you. What did he pray? رَبِّ شْرَحْ لِي صَدْرِي وَيَسْرْ لِي أَمْرِي وَحَلُ الْعُقْدَةً مِّن لِسَانِ يَفْقَهُ قَوْلِي. He prayed, and these are the words from Surah Taha, where Musa prayed to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that, O Allah, make my task easy for me. I have an impediment in speaking, so make my statements more clear to the people that I will be talking to. وَجْعَلْ لِي وَزِيرًا مِّنْ أَهْلِي حَارُونَ أَخِي. And not only that, O Allah, make my a wazir, an assistant for me from my own family. He even named Harun in that dua. أُشْدُدْ بِهِ عَزْرِي وَعَشْرِكُهُ فِي أَمْرِي. Strengthen me with Harun and make him partner in my task and responsibilities. فَأَنْزَلْتَ قُرْآنًا نَاطِقًا. Now Rasul, after quoting this dua of Musa, he says to Allah that, Allah, you responded to him. You responded to Musa by saying, and again he is quoting the words from Quran, سَنَشُدُّ عُزَدَكَ بِأَخِيكَ وَنَجْعَلْ لَكُمَ سُلْطَانًا. That, O Musa, yes, soon I'll make your brother the partner of this process with you, and I'll give both of you power. And so now the Prophet says, Allahumma wa ana Muhammadun Nabiyuka wa Safi. I, Muhammad, I am your Nabi. I am your friend. Fashrih li sadri. You know, broaden my heart. Not in a physical sense. Wa yassir li amri. Make my task easy. Waj'al li waziran min ahli. And appoint a wazir, an assistant for me from my family. Aliyan. As Ali, just as Musa asked for Harun, so that he may be there as my support. Qala Abu Dharr, according to Imam Fakhruddin Razi, Abu Dharr says that, Wallah, the dua of the Prophet had not yet ended when Jibreel came down. And he said, Ya Muhammad, Iqra. O Muhammad, read this ayat that you have been given now. Innama waliyukum Allah wa rasuluhu. وَالَّذِينَ آمَنُوا الَّذِينَ يُقِيمُونَ الصَّلَاةَ وَيُؤْتُونَ الزَّكَاةَ وَهُمْ رَاكِعُونَ. صلاة عليك. That is where this ayat came down. What does the ayat say? إِنَّمَا وَلِيُّكُمُ اللَّهُ وَرَسُولُهُ. Verily your master or your guardian or your leader, wali. Who is your wali? The word wilayat comes from wali. Your guardian, your wali is Allah and His messenger. وَالَّذِينَ آمَنُوا And those who have iman. And this is why people will say, well, why did he mention Ali? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knew the hearts of the people. If I mention the name of Ali in the Qur'an would be changed. So he doesn't name him. But the occasion is there. The narrations are there. And there is further indication in the ayat itself. Not all the mu'mineen collectively can be the wali and guardian and leaders of the Muslims. You know, you need a leader and a follower. Leader one, followers many. Not all of them collectively can be, you know, guardians and wali in that sense. Rather, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you know, further clarifies it. I'm not referring to all the mu'mineen. And it's very common in Arabic language, in Eastern languages, to use plural tense, even though you are talking about one individual. In Urdu we say, log kehte hain. Especially if I'm angry. Log kehte hain. Although that log is only one person. It's very common in Eastern languages. Even in the Quran there are ayat where Allah says, يَقُولُونَ Although he's referring to one individual, Mufassirin would say, this refers to this one person, he said this. But Allah uses plural tense. And so here also Allah is saying, إِنَّمَا وَلِيُّكُمُ اللَّهُ وَرَسُولُهُ وَالَّذِينَ آمَنُوا doesn't reply, you know, does not apply to all the mu'mineen. He further clarifies, الَّذِينَ يُقِيمُونَ الصَّلَاةِ وَيُؤْتُونَ الزَّكَاةِ وَهُمْ رَاكِعُونَ This refers to the mu'min who is doing namaz, and giving charity وَهُمْ رَاكِعُونَ in the state of ruku. Who did that before Ali? Nobody did that. Look at the fiqh of all the Shias and Sunni books. In the sadaqat and zakat, never does it say, oh, when you are in ruku, give sadaqah and charity. It's not even sunnah. This was one time event, unique to Amirul Mu'mineen. Where the ayat comes down, الَّذِينَ يُقِيمُونَ الصَّلَاةِ وَيُؤْتُونَ الزَّكَاةِ وَهُمْ رَاكِعُونَ Now you know, people say, of course there are others later on, try to follow the sunnah of Ali. They'll get sawab for the charity, but Jibreel didn't come down. No ayat came after that. This was unique to Amir al-Mu'mineen. Sometimes people say, well, you know, why didn't he give it before? Why did he have to wait till the beggar, you know, complained to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? I'll just ask you to bear this and to digest it. That the namaz of Ali is not my like mine, your namaz. Our namaz is a namaz where as soon as we say Allahu Akbar, all the things we have forgotten, we'll remember in namaz. Ali's namaz is not like ours. He's somebody when he's in musalla, his body is there, but his mind and soul is with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In a symbolic sense. And so there's no problem believing that when he complained to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah doesn't live in a specific area. That's where Amir al-Mu'min basically responds to it. There is a hadith from the Prophet. Even in the Sunni famous collection by the name of Al-Mu'jam al-Kabir al-Tabarani, Tabarani is the compiler of it. He says, the Prophet once, when people came to the Prophet and complained about a decision that Ali had made, as the leader of a military campaign for which he had been sent to Yemen. Some of those who were under his command, they didn't like his decisions. When they met the Prophet, they complained. And what did the Prophet say to them? لَا تَسُبُّ عَلِيًّا Do not curse Ali. Whatever he does it for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then he uses the word, فَإِنَّهُ مَمْسُوسٌ فِي ذَاتِ اللَّهِ It is very difficult to translate the word mamsus. Even the Arabic scholars there, they go into footnotes to explain it. And the way to explain would be that he actually was submerged in the law of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Whatever Ali did, when he is pleased for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When he is angry for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Therefore, لا تسبوا عليًا. Do not curse or say any abusive things to Ali. Whatever he does for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Salawat on him. So this one ayat for us, and its application on Ali ibn Abi Talib, gives us all three elements of what does it mean to be a Shia. On one hand, you have the issue of Salat as the pure form of unity in the worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then we have this issue of Zakat in the general sense of charity, which was done by Ali in this state of a Salat, concern for other people. So you worship Allah and be concerned for the Ummah as well as the world of Wilayat of Ali. And then on the third level, we talk about this issue in this ayat, the leadership itself. Allah is the Wali, and after him comes Rasul, and after Rasul comes Ali ibn Abi Talib, alayhi salatu wasalam. Salawat on him. In the following ayat, ayat 55 of Surah Ma'idah, Allah says, وَمَنْ يَتَوَلَّ اللَّهُ وَرَسُولُهُ وَالَّذِينَ آمَنُوا. Again, the same wording. Whoever considers Allah and Rasul and the mu'mineen, referring to Ali there, as the wali, فَإِنَّا حِزْبُ اللَّهُمُ الْغَالِبُونَ. They are actually the power of Allah's party, and they are the ones who are غالبون and truly successful in this dunya and the Akhirah. Salawat on him. So brothers and sisters, not only in Islam, but brothers and sisters in Wilayat, we as Shias have to live up to this identity of Shia Ali. We have to mold our lives on these three principles of spiritual development and worshipping only one God, and on the issue of being, you know, having this social concern for the Ummah and also for the Shias of Ali. And number three, we should always strengthen this firm bond that we have with Allah and Rasul, and after him with Ali and the Imams of Ahlul Bayt alayhi salatu wa salam. Especially in this part of the world, majority of us migrated to this land and we got together as a community, established organizations, and then we have buildings in order to fulfill our religious needs as a Shia community. From what I am told about the early days that the Shias migrated here, you know, the program started in apartments of people. They were small in number. Gradually, the community got together, the numbers increased. From apartments, they moved to rental halls for special occasions. After that, you know, gradually, community started buying, you know, warehouses or industrial units or old churches, converting them into Imam Bargahs and Islamic centers. And as the community grew in number and resources, you know, we see in North America and in most, you know, major cities, now we have structures which symbolize Islam with the minaret and the domes. We as the Shia community here in Toronto, we embarked on a project in 1994. And we have been waiting to see the completion of that. Alhamdulillah, you know, we can see that the JCC project, this is a project which is unique. Unique in a sense that it's not only a place of worship. We have a masjid in there, we have an Imam Bargah in there, we have a full-time school, we also have the weekend madrasa in there, then you have the full-size gym, and various facilities for the seniors, for women, from the youths. And I can say that I have yet to see in the Western world, in Europe and North America, an Islamic center which has been able to put all these things under one roof. This is the unique perspective of the project that we are, inshallah, going to witness the opening. It depends on the, you know, update that we'll be getting later on, that what is the status now. But that will be unique. In a sense, under one roof you have everything all together. Salawatun Iqbal. Since the construction gained speed, the morale of the community was raised. It came up. Especially in the last 2 years, the community has, not only locally, even internationally, been very generous in its contribution. And we see, alhamdulillah, you know, the work has progressed, and now it is reaching close to completion. But unfortunately, I have to report to you, I don't know if the officials have already talked about this officially or not, that the Jamaat is facing shortage of funds. And therefore it has been forced to get loan from the bank in order to make sure that the, you know, the project is completed according to the schedule which was there in place. The funds are not coming as generously as before, and partly because of the economic crisis which has affected, you know, people all around the world. And so when we look at this issue, and I would like to emphasize that this being the day of the anniversary of our Imam, in the name of Ali, the Ali who symbolized the unity of worshipping Allah and serving the people in order to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, I will again, once more, you know, urge you to contribute as much as you can. I know we are going through difficult times as far as economics are concerned. But remember, you know, we are not only talking about homes, we are talking about homes comes out of the whatever extra that we have, and that's only 20%. You know, whatever we still have there, you know, 80% is still sitting there, huh? And so I'll leave it to your judgment, look at your own situation, you know, because the work has to reach to the completion. There is no two views about this issue. And it has to be done, and it's better that it be done or completed in a way that we are not left with that loan, you know, towards the bank. Salawat on Iqbal. However, in the name of Ali, it is also my duty to remind you all that while we move forward towards the completion of this new building, and as I said, it will be a very unique building, you know, let us not forget the ultimate challenge that we have as a Shia community in the western part of the world. And what am I referring to? I've said this before, constructing a building is easy, but building a community is not that easy. We can have the biggest of the buildings, and mashallah, as I said, this will be the biggest Shia center in the western world. And I know people who get visitors from out of town. One of the things in the list of their visits is to go and see the project. So people take pride in that, and it is an impressive project when you go inside. But I think we have to also make sure that when we move into this new place, we should move in with a bigger heart and a broader vision, where we look at all the Shias in the same way, irrespective of their race, their colors, or their language. That is the essence of being a Shia. And that is the challenge that the Toronto community has, because many other communities around in the West look at Toronto as the guide and the model. It is for you. It is for us collectively to present that example of how we can really live up to that expectation that Ali is from his Shias. After all, we live in Canada. Let this multicultural flavor touch us also. How can we live in Canada and not be, you know, touched by that flavor of multicultural, ethnicity that we see, which is a distinctive mark of the Canadian society. And we have to basically reflect that, irrespective of where others are doing or not. I hear this issue many times. Oh, what are others doing? Well, on the day of Qiyamah, Allah is not going to ask us, because others didn't do, so you also didn't do, okay, you are okay. No, they will be punished, we also will be punished. We can't have this excuse because other groups or other Shia communities don't do that, therefore we don't have to do it. Well, we have to probably take that leadership role and show to the rest of these ethnic Shia communities in North America at least, that we can have a society where the basis of our identity and affiliation is the wilayat of Ali ibn Abi Talib alayhi salatu wa salam. Look at Ali, when he became the ruler of the Muslims. The biggest challenge that he had was to bring this, you know, concept of equality among Muslims back to the front, which has been suppressed by the administrations before him. It is really important to go and look at some of the early khutbahs that Amir al-Mu'mineen presented after he was accepted as the ruler of the Muslims. For example, in one of the khutbahs he says, إِنِّي حَامِلُكُمْ عَلَى مَنْحَجِ نَبِيِّكُمْ. I am going to take you forward on the path of your Nabi, which means that the path you had been following had deviated from the path of your Nabi. There's a lot of arguments about it, we can talk about it some other time. And then he gives one example. He says, أَلَا أَيُّمَا رَجُلٌ مِنَ الْمُحَاجِرِينَ وَالْأَنْصَارِ مِنَ أَصْحَابِ رَسُولِ اللَّهِ يرى أن الفضل له على ما سواه لصحبته فإن الفضل النير غدا عند الله وثوابه وعجره على الله. He says, O Ansar and Muhajirin, those of you who are ashab and companions of Rasulullah, if you think this suhbat, being a companion of the Prophet, is a privilege, remember that this is a privilege for you in the Akhirah. Don't try to use that in this dunya. Don't say, I want more from Baytul Mal because I'm a Sahabi, compared to somebody who is not a Sahabi. And then he goes to say, أَيُّمَا رَجُلٌ إِسْتَجَابَ اللَّهُ وَلِلْرَسُولِ. Whoever accepts Allah and Rasul, وَصَدَّقَ مِلَّتَنَا وَدَّخَلَ فِي دِينِنَا, and accepts our religion, comes into the fold of Islam, وَاسْتَقْبَلَ قِبْلَتَنَا, and faces our Qibla, anyone who does that, قَدْ اسْتَوْجَبَ حُقُوقَ الْإِسْلَامِ وَحُدُودُهُ, then all the rights of a Muslim are for him also, and he is also, you know, under the all the obligations which are there on a Muslim. And then he says, فَأَنْتُمْ عِبَادُ اللَّهِ وَالْمَالُ مَالُ اللَّهِ. He says, doesn't matter if you are Ansar or Muhajir, Sahabi or Ghair Sahabi, Arab or non-Arab, master or slave, Qurayshi, Ghair Qurayshi, doesn't matter. When it comes to the public treasury, فَأَنْتُمْ عِبَادُ اللَّهِ, all of you are nothing but the servants of Allah, and this maal in Baytul Maal is maalullah. يُقْسَمُ بَيْنَكُمْ بِالصَّبِيَّةِ. It will be distributed among you on the level, on the basis of equality. لَا فَضْلَ فِيهِ لِأَحَدٍ عَلَىٰ أَحَدٍ. No one would have a superiority on the basis of their sahabiyyat or tribe or their color or their, you know, ethnicity. Salawat sana ekbar. Even if you don't remember anything from what Ali said, remember this. أَنْتُمْ عِبَادُ اللَّهِ وَالْمَالُ مَالُ اللَّهِ. When it comes to huquq, when it comes to religious views, that is the perspective that we should have. And so when we move into a bigger place, we should move with that pledge and that vision that we will implement that policy of Amirul Mu'mineen, where we should be concerned for everyone. This project is there, contribute as much as you can, but also look around. Look among your extended family members. Look at your circle of friends or friends of friends. If there are people who are going through difficulty, this is the time where you get this opportunity to show your generosity. And you will be blessed by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for helping a fellow brother or sister in vilayat during the difficult times that people are going through. Salawat alayhi wa sallam.
Afdalus salam.